CliffCentral.com.
All right, CliffCentral.com on a Tuesday morning, and Bulalo Lebang and I are looking to take care of you this morning and give you some stuff to think about, stuff to talk about, stuff to make you smile, hopefully, as well. And we've got plenty of that on the way in the next hour. So, you can always get hold of us on the YouTube comments, which is probably the best way to do this. And you can do that right now live. Lots of interesting stuff about JJ Cornish and his thoughts on what's going on in Africa at the moment. If you want to join in on that conversation, you can do that too. But this is an interesting one. Lebanga's got something coming up, which I think we've discussed once or twice on the show, but it's always interesting to hear this. So it is her high school old girls reunion next week. And these kinds of things are, they're either really, really interesting or they're awful. And if you feel that they're awful, you probably shouldn't go. And many people use them as an opportunity to brag a little bit. Some people use them as an opportunity to catch up with old friends. But mostly it's like you're actually checking out where everybody's fitting in now, how well they've done. It gives you a chance to judge others. That's what it really is.
Yeah, is your wife hotter than her?
About yourself. Yeah.
How hot's your wife? How hot's his wife? It's a good indicator where we're both on.
So, yeah, pretty much.
Are you excited?
Because in high school, a lot of people just like peaked. Yeah, look, I'm a little bit hot and cold about going. I've literally never attended one since matriculating in 2007. Yeah. I've always told myself I'm never going back. But I think with this one, I'm ready. I'm ready to face my teachers who never believed in me. I'm ready to face all the girls that hated me. I can't wait. I'm going to be dressed to the T. Like, I'm going to make sure I look so fly. My nails are going to be done. I'm just going to rock up there like, oh, who's that? They'll be like, is that Lebang? I'm going to be like, yeah, bitches. So I'm really excited. I think I'm just going to go just to like, you know, just to stunt on them hoes. But on the real, like, it'll be nice to see some old people, you know, just to see some old faces. Like, thanks to social media, I've pretty much sort of kept up. Like, I can see everybody got like married at this age, had kids at this age. But the bigger thing in why I want to go is because I feel like I got snubbed in high school. So I was one of those people in high school that was like really popular among everyone because I was just so friendly. I got along with everyone, but the teachers were not about that life. They were just like, she's never going to amount to anything. She talks too much.
Really?
And I think, in grade 11, I got snubbed. A deputy head girl, not head girl, head of house position. They snubbed me so bad, and I knew it. Everybody knew it because my best friend at the time, who became head of house, was like a Greek chick, and her and I were like homies. So when I didn't get deputy, I was like, okay, I see what y'all doing. So I think I want to go just to be like, okay, hi, how y'all doing? But also just to part ways with all that anger that I've harbored towards them. I want to leave there, just letting it go, because high school was it is what it is. Some people peak in high school. I'm doing it now. So
yeah.
So did you go to just like a classic co-ed school, or did you go to a girls' school?
I actually went to the most classic girls' school you can find, one of the oldest probably in the country. Very, very typical all girls school, very, very typical, go to chapel every Sunday, blah, 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 because I was also a boarder. So I was like way, way pushing the boundaries. It was like, who's this person coming here doing everything that we don't allow at this school? I mean, I started the first hip hop dance classes. They were like, what is this? So, yeah, I think this Saturday is for healing. Next week Saturday, I'm going there to heal and just, you know, part ways with it. But I'm going to try and make the most of it, you know, and just see who's who in the zoo. You know, it's like, okay, cool. I see you.
Well, it doesn't sound like you're 50-50. It sounds like you're 100% in. You've thought of outfits. You've thought of what you're going to say. You've thought about who you want to see, who you want to show up. I like that. This is good. You've got a plan.
I have to be. I mean, I don't want to get there like unprepared. Like, I don't want to get there and then these girls are all like, you know, killing me. You know, I mean, a lot of them, to be honest, Gareth, in high school, like a lot of them didn't really do so well with their school marks. But because they were so connected, like the school would literally let them get away with murder. The matric rate was always 100% pass. But we'd know that like two or three of these girls definitely didn't pass. But because their parents are donating so much money to the school. You know what I mean? So I think I'm more keen to go and just like show them that like real life happens, guys. And some of us are products of, you know, aware of my privilege, but some of us are products of like real actual work with our own elbows in the grease outside of, you know, what happened, what we can or can't do with the school. I mean, a lot of the girls, they just know like each other's brothers and cousins, and they all have jobs in the same circles. It's the old girls network, and that's right. Cool.
But I mean, if you can make use of the old girls network, then do it. I mean, this is sometimes one of the most useful things that comes out of school, is not necessarily that you learnt anything, but that you know this one whose dad owns that business, or you know her and she's gone ahead and started her own career in this, and she can connect you to that one, and you know how it goes. Mm. That stuff's useful.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But
for sure, and good for them.
I've never been to any reunions of school or any of that stuff, even like work reunions. I don't go to those things either. You know, I don't like want to see people from my radio career 10 years ago. I don't want to reintroduce old. I'm not nostalgic. I'm just, it doesn't do anything for me. I'm totally not interested. I mean, the ones that I care about are the ones I'm still in contact with. So to go and sit with all the also rans that I was at school with is just my idea of hell. And the same goes for like the radio business. Jesus, what a bunch of losers those people are. I mean, I would not want to spend more than 10 minutes around them. And even then, that's at like gunpoint. There are the ones that I like are the ones I still talk to. The ones I don't talk to anymore, I don't talk to for a good reason. And people say to me, oh, do you still hear from this or that person? And yeah, I go, no, not really. And it's my fault because I couldn't care less to keep up with them.
And so let me ask you this, like with your school, did anything bad ever happen and your school network help you out or
no? No, I didn't go to a fancy school like you, Bulelo, you know, where your school network can help you out. The people who I went to school with ended up being, you know, at best like shopkeepers and you know, media personalities. We didn't end up being you know, massive high flying and powerful business people. No, I don't think that there was such a thing as our school network. There's no alumni at our school. And we went to a normal government school that was just the closest place that my parents could send me to. It wasn't like they'd thought it through and gone, let's choose between these marvelous options. It was like that one because it was closest. Boom. That's it. You're going there.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel any connection. So, like if someone says to me they went to the same school I went, I'm like, I suppose we're both lucky we got an education there.
Yikes.
I didn't realize how real this thing was. I mean, I kind of always knew until I was in a super hairy situation where, the case is still going. And I mean, it was pretty close to life and death. And by the time I got down the mountain, this is after, I mean, geez, it got very serious. But by the time I got down the mountain, I already had messages from guys who had found out about the situation.
Oh, is this when, you were like robbed and assaulted on Table Mountain when you were on a hike or something?
And guys got stabbed. Yeah, no, it was very real. And, but by the time I got down, I had missed calls from my headmaster who I hadn't spoken to in 12 years. I had guys in London messaging me, like lawyers' numbers. And I had not, I'm not that guy. I am not the, hey, what's happening?
No, but old dude, boys, if you can make use of it, do it. But so you would probably go to a reunion because then you'd see a lot of really successful people.
No, but I mean, I did go to the 10-year one, but I'm saying I'm not that guy. But by the time I got down without, so keep in mind, I don't have my phone, I don't have anything. I mean, I'm walking down a mountain.
These people are so connected, they found out.
That, I got, by when I got down and I got a new phone, there were already messages of call this Oak, do this, do that. And I had, like, I do not stay in touch with Oak. So it is an interesting dynamic in South Africa. I mean, it's and I guess in the UK, it's still very real. So, it's a thing. Unfortunately, I hate to say it. It is a thing that Lebang is going to go through. And by the way, there is nobody more vicious on this planet. And my sister has told me this over and over, than people that go to girls' boarding schools. They are some vicious, vicious humans. Let me tell you what you have.
No, people think I'm going to be name dropping like crazy.
The stories I've heard.
Right. Yeah, no, the boys' schools are a lot tougher. My brother actually went to the boys' school that was like the brother school to us, and that school broke him. It absolutely broke him. Like, he's still trying to
get ya. Trying to what? Broke
up. Levan got cut off. But boys' schools will get ya. It's not for everyone. It'll get ya, especially boarding school.
I'm being a bit unkind because I said like it was just the closest school. My parents did give me the option. They were like, well, do you want to go to this school or this school? And there was a co-ed and then there was a boys' school. And I was like, you know what? I know guys who've been to these boys' schools. And while there are some advantages to them and there's some kind of camaraderie that's baked into it and it's not all bad, I also think that those guys immediately after school, not always, but immediately after school, they usually struggle with kind of girls. They struggle getting to talking to girls, interacting with girls. I always thought that was a bit weird. Even if it's only for a year or so after school, even during, they get over it eventually. And it's to their advantage in the long run, I suppose. But mostly for a year or so after school, the guys who go to the all-boys schools, they don't know how to talk to women. They don't know how to deal with women. Unless they have girls in their family, of course. That helps. That kind of assuages it a little bit. But certainly not girls they've never met before. And it was just something I noticed. So I was like, nah, send me to the co-ed and it'll save you money.
Yeah. I mean, it's a complicated conversation. It's not for everyone. Let me just say that. I know people want that network, but let me just tell you something is if you do send your son or daughter to those environments, it is mm-hmm. not for everyone. And if you think bullying is a real thing, I'm afraid don't send your kids there because it's brutal. It's a brutal world, especially boarding school. It's not for everyone.
Please, look, if bullying at school is the worst thing you ever put up with in your life, if it doesn't kill you, it can only make you stronger. And trust me, the real world is going to be a lot harder than the bullies at school. Always.
And I would urge yuppie parents to send their kids to boarding school because, like me, yuppie children need to be smacked by farm boys and farm girls.
Yeah.
And it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me was mm-hmm. getting a fist right through the face for thinking I could talk to people a certain way. And it was excellent for me.
Well, you see,
not
so,
then.
You see so much no. of this on the internet. You can see that there are a lot of people who genuinely have never been put in their place. You know, they've been told by mom and dad and everyone else in their life that they're just a marvelous little treasure from heaven and that they couldn't possibly say or do anything wrong or stupid and nobody has the right to correct them. And then they meet the real world face first and sometimes there's someone standing in your path going, if you talk to me like that, you may get away with it with your parents, but I will smack you.
You know what? I love the part of the country where farm kids are from. And because I love that.
From
I really
all over the country, yeah.
Sure. No, any farm kids. What I like is, you know, us yuppies from Joburg, Big Mouth, think we can charm everything. Like, I remember this oak kind of, I was pushing him and early on. And it was about probably form three, can't quite remember. Anyway, a guy came up to me. No talking, no, hey, but I'm going to. Just absolutely decked me through the face, like properly turned my lights out for a couple of hours, right? And he continued to do that because it's not like that was it. He could, and eventually it was like, oh, you can't talk to certain people a certain kind of way because they're like things happen. And this guy wasn't loud talk. He wasn't, you know how Joburg goes, oh, yes, he puts a clap you for you. No, none of that.
There was no preamble. It was like, this was your moment to be humble.
And he came a couple of times, different guys as well. All those farm boys down there, the Midlands, they're different, that farm strength. Guy just, so, and they deck you.
So
I love it.
Here's an interesting interesting point. Steph says, thinking back, I would have enjoyed going to an all-boys school, less distractions. That's true. Tracy says, loved boarding school, co-ed school, girls' boarding school worked for me. It wouldn't work for everyone. Flea says, I went to an all-girls school convent. Watching the girls in first year varsity trying to just interact with the opposite sex was cringeworthy. Yeah, I think that's about right. And Sergio says, don't fool yourself, gents. I have a son at one of these said boys' schools, and it's changing. It's not what it used to be. Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, it's all becoming, and I know this sounds really stupid and out of touch sometimes, because we are living in a world where helicopter parents and children who grew up in cotton wool, that's the norm. I get it. But I think that the schools are actually, by churning out these soft, entitled little shits, they're actually doing them a huge disservice. They're not helping them. It's making them worse. Yep. And it's making them completely unemployable in the real world, because they come out of this world where they've been told they can do no wrong and they're always special and precious and they can be anything they want to be, and they watch, TV shows that tell them how great they are and how they've never made a mistake and you should never really have to feel responsible for anything bad that happens to you. And they get into the work environment and the rest of us are like, what? Are you out of your mind? Who do you think you are? Like, do your work.
Exactly.
Get on with it, you little shit.
And there's also a little bit of aggression that comes with that, because they're now being rejected in the real world. They sort of don't know how to act because at school, you were told, oh, no, you're perfect. Yeah. When you get into the real world, now you realize that, okay, crap, this is real life. There's sort of like an underlying aggression that sort of develops as a result of that.
And then
it's all very messy.
And they tantrum. They have a little hissy fit, or they break down and they need a like mental health day because they've been told to do something that they don't want to do. It happens.
No,
seriously.
Hectic.
Just as much as we on this show, we take mental health very seriously. We've got Dr. Hanan on once a week, and he makes the most sense out of any of us on the show. But the reality is there's also this counterbalance of like we've got these jelly baby people who just don't seem to have a whole lot to contribute to society and expect to be treated like they're little gods and kings.
And I like that term, jelly baby people.
Yeah. Yeah. Soft and squishy.
So they literally just wobble.
Which they generally do. I was talking to somebody about this. He went to a boys' school as well, and he made such a great point, and I couldn't agree more with him. Although it's a little thing, one thing that it really sits at the seed it put into certainly my soul is that, and from guys that I've seen, because I've seen when I'm around guys from boys' schools, we organize quickly and we just get on with it. Is it puts into you that you're supposed to be in charge. So whenever I see people from co-ed schools where being in charge, it takes a little while and they kind of imposter syndrome is, there's a thing, I can't explain it and it's not deliberate, but they put into you that you're supposed to be in charge.
Right.
Don't be uncomfortable with that. And it sounds like it doesn't matter.
No, that's
but
that's
as
a
I
big
get
deal.
Older, as I get older, I'm starting to realize, my God. And, high five to my mom for getting no sleep so she could afford to send me to this type of school, and my dad. And, it's such an important thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to balance it out, but it's a real thing. It's a real thing. And it'll be
also
some argument to convince me.
Being comfortable with being comfortable with actually taking charge. As you say, for many people, it's a very difficult thing, especially when you've been in the passive role your whole life and you've been told what to do or you've been expected to just listen rather than make decisions. Those kinds of environments are few and far between. I mean, here's one that Freedom Farter says, the army clapped me off my matric podium, not agreeing with army, but something should be there to put assholes back in their place.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. Tony wants to know, what's a helicopter parent? One of those parents who hover over their kids the whole time and protect them from everything so that the kids grow up with no challenges or difficulties, and the parents always interfering in things and like acting on the kid's behalf where the kid has to learn some agency. That's really what a helicopter
parent. Or at my school when they have a problem, the parents would literally pitch up with a helicopter. So that's a double entendre there, Gareth. They would literally pitch up with a helicopter, land on the field, and come and sort out.
Okay, well,
little bubby.
Yeah, it's at your school. Only time a helicopter came to my school is when there was like the police trying to find someone.
And I tell you, that helicopter should have taken their kids with them, because let me tell you something about boarding school. When mommy and daddy come and they make me sit in an office, yes, ma'am, sorry, ma'am. Soon as your mommy and daddy's helicopter takes off, okay,
a little
we're gonna,
shit.
It's on.
I'm gonna deal with you.
Oh, right,
And also, by the way, and I know this is probably shouldn't be letting the heads of house, they let it happen.
Sure.
Because they love it. Yeah.
They let it happen. So if you think your little precious is going to go there and be cuddled, then nope.
Nothing.
Ain't gonna happen.
But that's nothing. Exactly why I think so many people want to send their kids to a boarding school, is because then they also socialize a lot more organically than, let's say, the kids whose parents are protecting them the whole time from the real world. Because eventually, you know, the rubber hits the road. Something's going to happen. Something's got to give. And when that happens, it's either going to break your child or they're going to deal with it and they'll be equipped better for life afterwards.
And Labang can tell us probably, because from what I've just heard, girls' boarding schools are just savageville. But, you know, boarding school turns you into a savage. It turns you into a savage. So what's nice is about after 3-4 years, now you're with the sharks and mommy and daddy can't save you anymore. If only for that space, you know. And it's like Labang's brother, it broke her, but it's going to happen and it's broken many.
Yeah, no, I think like the massive benefit really is the fact that you have to fend for yourself. For the most part, I've seen people that come out way stronger as a result of not having, you know, that hoveringness or whatever the case is. The kids that have had the hoveringness right now are just seeing their asses. Like, your first year out of matric, those girls that were like, you know, really prim and proper and got 100% for this and were always, they saw flames when they got to the real world, because it's like, you know, now you don't have all of that. And literally, I would definitely send my kids to boarding school, but I would maybe also like not have them there 24/7. You know, maybe Monday to Friday boarding school, but come home on weekends, which is what I was lucky enough to get. So I got a nice bit of a balance. Those full-time boarders, on the other hand, they are very like unique. Unique savages. Individuals who, when I see them in the hallway, I just pass, because they do not give a rat's ass. They will take a toothbrush, freaking sharpen it, and just come for you. So, hey.
Sounds like prison. That sounds like prison.
It's not like, it sort of felt like it at some point.
They shank you in the corridor.
Have I told you? So let me tell you a quick story just to let you know how real it was out there. It's like, so the one day I was having a conflict with a guy, rugby morning, whatever, we go out now, big rugby game to play, and obviously I'm in pain now, I come back. But our school had like has a massive river which you can see from some of the houses. And I'm coming back and I see a mattress I'm like, oh no, that's a rough one for whatever's happening. So I get up there, it's my mattress.
Oh God.
Because I've really teased somebody. Goodness. Oh no, very real.
So they threw your mattress into the river.
With all my food and everything. Like we were really in
Jesus.
It. Right. So now I mean, we've obviously got a canteen, but so now I'm back, rugby match. But here's what was interesting to me. Obviously, you know, for classic mommy and daddy and bubby at home is get him a mattress. What happened? Okay. Housemaster came in. What happened? What did you do? I said, Tinta, what did you do? Because let me just, I was that guy. Once he found out that it was actually me who started the whole thing, I had to sleep for a week on the floor.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's plenty of spare mattresses. I'd sleep for a week. And in Midlands winter, if you don't know, boy, oh boy, I'd sleep for a week on the floor.
It's freezing.
So just know that stuff happens when you send your kids there. You mustn't just think.
You look back on that now. You didn't go, oh, I was being bullied.
No, because it worked for me, Gareth. For me, my personality type is I'm loving it, because I'm going to definitely be stealing someone's blanket and I'm just going to adjust on the fly. And I'm going to, if somebody punches me, I grit my teeth and let's go at it. Plus, you know, I must also be very clear. It's very, very comfortable. Or it's more comfortable, what little comfort there is in boarding school, when you play sport and you're very good at it, is there is a slight cushion for you.
Yeah.
So for me,
when they like you. Yeah, when they like you, get the best room, blah, blah, blah. But if they don't care about you, you'll feel it.
So how about this? Tracy says, my oldest boy was severely bullied for months. Thank goodness it was resolved. Ended up being a positive experience. My son felt empowered being able to help the other kid by speaking up. And that often is the lesson that they will learn. Now, again, no one wants to see like bullying, and we've heard horrible stories about this. But it seems that the stories only go the one way. You know, it's always about how bad the bullying is, but it's never about what the kids actually might learn from it, as awful as it is.
Yep.
And I wouldn't want, if I had kids, I wouldn't want them to be bullied at school. Nobody wants that. As a parent, you definitely don't want that. But if they don't have any difficulty, if everything's laid on, if everything's easy,
something's wrong.
Yeah, like I look at some of the parents who do that for their kids. They'll bend over backwards. They'll work themselves to death to make sure that their kids don't have to feel even the slightest discomfort. And I think you're probably hurting more than you're helping.
Gareth, I was an au pair.
You were?
Yeah, if you've got shitty kids, you've got shitty kids. I was an au pair for a family that's exactly like that. So they had four kids, three girls and one boy, and they went to the top schools. So I would literally au pair with these kids. And as you're saying, these kids are coddled to the T, so much so that the boy who went to this boy's school ended up becoming a buddy there. And instead of the parents just saying, you know what, our kids maybe have issues, they kept switching him and taking him to every other top boys' school taking any responsibility.
Yeah.
Every school they took him to was like, look, your kid is a bit of a dickhead. And he was like 7 already. I was like, look, guys, and this is what got me fired. Look, guys, your kids are the issue here. They need a bit of a talking to. And the parents just didn't want to believe it. And as a result, I got fired. But they would switch au pairs every 6 months because those kids were just unbearable.
Well let's place some bets, because I bet you're not going to be able to reveal reveal their name or anything. But if you can find out what those kids have turned out like now, I guarantee it's not a happy story. I'm sure they're all disasters if they're even alive still.
Yo, like the oldest from my memory ended up going to Crawford, which is like a nice bit of both public and private. And now she's just like killing it. It in the sense of like, she's got lists of boys that she's hooking up with. Oh. Last time I interacted with her, we were having conversations about, yesterday I got with whoever, now I got with whoever. Like, she's just going through that phase. And I'm just like, yo, peace out. I don't want any part of this.
You know what I believe, and it's interesting what Lewang's saying. I really, more the older I get, every young man needs to have his lights turned out before the age of 21 once.
It is
a good equalizer. It is a good reminder that you cannot talk to people a certain way. Not everybody. There are sharks out there, and not only are there sharks out there, they'll get you if you keep doing what you're doing.
All right. 100%.
Every young man must get his lights turned out.
We're going to have to call that to a close. I just want to quickly go to Zach here, who says, there's a report in the news. The South African men's netball team has just won the International Cup. Mbulelo, is this in your sports report? How do we feel about this? I didn't even know we had a men's netball team, so you don't have to answer it, Mbulelo. But if you feel obliged, go for it.
I don't feel about it.
What a waste.
I think that's cool.
Sure, then you can
watch. That's fine. It is cool.
How much did you know about them before Zach told us that now?
Look, shout out to you, Zach, for, you know, teaching us something new. We're allowed to learn things as we go. And today I learned that we've got a male's netball team. And I think it's cool that we've won. The end. That's a wrap on my thoughts about it.
Nobody cares. Sorry. Nobody cares. Nobody on earth gives a fisherman's fuck about the men's netball team. I'm sorry to break it to you guys. Not like the captain of that team is top of everyone's mind. No one's thinking, wow, we really should, you know, get a sponsorship for them. It's not happening.
No, Scarlett Johansson's not lining up to hook up with the male netball
team. Oh, my God. You can see them at like a bar. Are you the captain of the South African men's netball team? I can't believe I'm meeting you. No, said no one ever.
You guys.
All right. Let's turn our attention to something that I'm really, really excited about. We're going to do something new here on cliffcentral.com. It is called hashtag This Is Us, and every Tuesday at 7:30 a.m., which if you check your clock right now, that's where we are at, we're going to be joined by someone who is no stranger to the show. In fact, we had him on just after all of the looting and the riots and all that chaos that ensued in South Africa in June, July of this year, and we were busy talking about it, and Yatish, who we had on the show then, came up with some really interesting ideas about what we could do as a country going forward. Yatish Nasi and Lebang Hosana, who you remember was a new kid on our block as well at the time, have decided that they're going to take this on along with a number of other people. It's an open source shared platform that we're talking about. We're going to organize our collective positive will in a really powerful way. And this is about amplifying those things that make us a great nation, and remind us of what we do have in common and what we can achieve. Because there's so much in the news that's just like negative and depressing that we need to have a very conscious campaign to remind ourselves of the positive stuff. So welcome, Yatish. It's good to see you again. And thank you for joining us this morning. How are you doing?
Good, good. Morning, everybody.
Good. You look very fresh and ready to take on all the responsibility of This Is Us this morning. So let's get straight into it, guys, because you and Lebang are pretty much going to be hosting this show. And there are lots of other people involved, too. We'll talk about who they are in a minute. But we're going to create a little bit of a counterpoint to the prevailing negative sentiment. And I think a lot of us want to hop on board with that just because we're tired of the negative stuff and because people respond so well to a positive message. And there's plenty, if you focus on it, to focus on. So tell us about what the idea is here and how This Is Us is different to all the other let's save the world or, you know, let's bring world peace campaigns that we've heard of in the past. Explain to people why you think this is actually going to work. And you start, Yatish, and then Lebang, you try.
Cool. So we have no idea if it's going to work. We're hoping it does. We really are hoping it does. I think let's start there because it is such a complex problem. I think, you know, what we thought about post the riots is, you know, it's certainly the reasons it happened, but you don't want to dwell on it, right? You want to be able to. And South Africans were so. That's also, you know, part of what makes us so great is also part of what sometimes trips us up, right?
You know,
a few weeks on, we win a few rugby games. Okay, let's not count last weekend. But, you know, post the riots, we sort of did well at rugby. We do a few things and then we move on as a nation, right? Because I think our resilience is great because it teaches us to move past adversity.
Right.
But also it means sometimes we don't dwell on something long enough to solve it. We'll just move on because we're so good at doing that.
Correct.
So I think what we sat around the sort of table and thought about as a collective was to say, you know, what we're finding certainly through July and through conversations in August is there are no shortage of South Africans who want to do what needs to be done or who are willing to make an effort. Now, there are cynics out there, to your point, people who are going, ah, you know, another movement. I don't have time. I pay my tax. They steal my tax. I don't have any more time for any other efforts. So there is that element. And I think you've just got to move past that.
Sure.
And say there are people willing to do what needs to be done. Who are they? Where can they go? How can we collect all of the sentiment? And the more of it that happens, you know, we think the more of it becomes possible and the more people see it, the more they sort of react to it. And the best example certainly I've found is in the 70s and 80s, if you look at a movement like I Love New York, right?
Yeah.
And you know, what most people don't realize is in the 70s and 80s, I mean, it's such a funny story, right? Stop me if you've heard any of this before.
No, go on.
New York doubled their murder rate, right? The State Department had put out pamphlets that said, don't walk the streets after six. Never take public transport.
Sure.
This is the State Department.
Right.
The President Ford at the time cut funding. They had rolling blackouts. Again, tell me if this sounds familiar. They had rolling blackouts. During one of the rolling blackouts, they had mass riots, right? Arson, looting, and the largest citywide arrests at the time.
Sounds like paradise.
And then the city. sounds like downtown Joburg. But the city of New York decided that what they needed was something that didn't belong to anybody. So it wasn't led by government or state or anybody. It was quite open source. Everybody could get involved. And it was just a simple idea that said, listen, we love this place. What can we do to make it better? There you go.
I have it here every morning, right. And I look at this every day, and I think, what a brilliant, brilliant, simple logo. And you see it everywhere in New York. You still see it. How many years later is this now, Yatish? This is like 40 years later.
40 years.
And it shows you that people want to, even if things are objectively a bit more complicated and a bit more challenging than we'd like them to be, that doesn't mean that your attitude has to be the same.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I've had so many, you know, since we've started this, almost every time I get in an Uber is a chance to have a conversation with the guys behind the wheel.
Right.
Uber drivers are the best. I mean, they're the, like, one of the best sources of information ever.
Yep.
You know, it's like the best way to spend your 20 minutes is to have a chat with these guys. And you know, the more and more you sort of engage people as well, you get so many interesting perspectives, right? And the one thing that one of the guys said to me, which was so great, is he said, look, things are pretty cuck. But if you're deciding to stay, right? And sometimes you're staying because you don't have the means. I get it. But sometimes you're staying because you're deciding you want to stay. If you're staying, what you're also admitting to yourself is that there is work to be. I'm staying and I've got to do something. Otherwise, why am I staying? I can stay and complain, sure. But it's a bit like what you guys were talking about boarding school earlier. I caught the last 5 or 10 minutes, you know. I feel sorry for the captain of the South African netball team, and he can certainly join our movement. Thanks, Gareth.
Sure.
But fortunately, I didn't play netball in school. But you know, the thing that you guys said a lot about, which was, you know, you took responsibility, right? You realized that, you know, if we say South Africa's failed, even the three of us have to say, put our hands up and say we are part of that failure. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't just blame.
You can't also pretend that, like, just because you're living behind a high wall, or because you have a passport to somewhere else, or because you've got some money, or because you go to sleep every night not worrying about things, that everybody else must just get on with it and figure it out for themselves. Like, there is a thing called community, and we whether we like it or not, we're all part of that. So Lebang, what's your feeling on this? Because you're going to take this thing and run with it in terms of what we do on TripCentral.com. So explain to people what their involvement can be and what this is going to tell us, and whose stories we're interested in.
Yeah, so first and foremost, I think the biggest thing about This Is Us is definitely that community aspect and that element of you're not alone in this. Number one, we're looking at the ordinary person, the ordinary everyday South African, and what they can or what they are already doing. So we've got an opportunity to redefine who can actually do things, who can actually make the changes that we need to see as a country, who's responsible for this healing. Where growing up, it was always like, no, the people in power can make the changes, or the people with money can make the changes. That's not what we're saying as This Is Us. As This Is Us, we're basically saying you right now at home, within your little space, within your little world, you have the responsibility to make this change, and it can reach more people than you think. It can have a wider impact than what you think. So my biggest and what I'm most excited about is that we're actually just chatting to normal South Africans. We're talking to me, we're talking to you, and we're talking to your neighbor. And we're encouraging the ordinary South African to just get up off their ass. Like Yatish said, we're not there anymore. We're just waiting for the government to help us. So we're just waiting. You as, you know, you and yourself, you can make that change. So that's what I'm really excited to see.
We already have so many examples in this country of people who've just decided, I'm not blaming anybody anymore. I'm going to fix this myself. Little communities like Harry Smith and, you know, Northern KwaZulu-Natal, who've gone and fixed their own water supply because the municipality just wasn't doing their job. They didn't sit there and go, oh, this municipality, it's so terrible. What are we going to do? They like got their hands dirty, rolled up their sleeves, raised some money, and now they've got like pumps in places and they've got water reticulation going again. And that's the kind of story that I think inspires us. You know, even during those riots and the looting that ensued, you saw people coming together in communities across all kinds of barriers that the politicians assured us were barriers we could never overcome. Like, you saw communities getting together and helping each other, supplying groceries. The old people in the community got looked after, you know. Schools were protected. That kind of thing happened. And I think that's beautiful. We've got to celebrate that because it happens at every level of South African society and in every community. And it just, if you're paying attention to it, you'll see it. If you're not paying attention, it'll pass you by.
And isn't that the whole point? Just changing the mindset, identifying that you and your friend did something so great for your little neighborhood. You know, let's get more and more people to start, you know, doing that little bit, because that little, when you put all those littles together, you have this huge shift. And number one, I think for This Is Us, it's the mindset. Like, what you're doing is enough. What you're doing is a start. And hopefully that can be like a sandpaper effect. And the person next to you who's reading it can also be like, well, let me also do something.
Let me ask you both something here, because Reisebeck says here, Tao Te Ching, when the country falls into chaos, the citizens become more patriotic. That's an interesting observation and something that's probably quite true. You know, things, they always say that things have to get a little bit worse before they get better. And people don't, if you're in a comfort zone and everything's okay, and this is the problem with what you see in the decline of kind of Western civilization too, is there's this latent kind of lazy, slow, there's no urgency, that kind of thing. We're an urgent country. We've got serious stuff to deal with. And if we don't deal with it, no one's coming to save us. And that's a good thing. We mustn't look at that as, oh my God, our back's against the wall. No, your back's against the wall. So now you know what you got to do. You got to advance forward and fight and make a difference and help others, pull them along as well.
Yeah, I mean, like a very strange kind of analogy, but I think a worthwhile one. Mm-hmm. In many ways, if you think of the country as like a relationship,
yeah,
you know, 94 was kind of like the wedding day, right? You know, it was like you thought you were going to live happily ever after, and you had this like amazing. Anybody who's married will tell you your wedding day is like the start of the hard work, right? That's when, like, that's the day, but that's when the hard work starts.
The marriage.
You know? And it feels like, you know, the marriage, correct. You know, and maybe what the last 27 years have taught us is, you know, as big an achievement as free and fair elections was, that was just
the wedding day.
Part one of that was a wedding day. The list of things to achieve goes on, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, maybe what's been happening has shocked us a little bit, and maybe it's the right to your point. Maybe it moves people out of apathy. Mm. And to your point, I think the conceptually what we thought about this is us, just like I Love New York, is that it just, if we can collect everything in a place, because to your point, there are a lot of people doing a lot of little things.
Mm.
But where's the Google for South African spirit, right? Where's the one place I go to that I can see and experience and be inspired by? So, and guys, it's not social media, right? I hate social media because I think it's, you know, it's.
But you've put together, I mean, behind the scenes, it's not as if you're just going to sit here and talk about how great things are. And you're going to have people on who've got lovely stories of success. And because you've actually harnessed a whole lot of other media partnerships into this too. You've harnessed business and their stories because they're an integral part of the tapestry. So how is it all going to work? For those of us who are looking at this going, okay, great, we want to be involved. We want to listen to this every week on Cliff Central, but there are also going to be other places that we can play along and that we can just generally start to shift that mindset. How is that going to work practically? Where are we going to find this information? What are we going to expect from you guys? And how can we get our hands dirty?
Cool. So, I mean, we've looked at a few sort of channels to sort of activate this. We've got a tremendous amount of like media support. So we've got a fair amount of sort of out of home space, TV and radio space. And we continue to sort of drive within our community to get that space available so that there are, you know, we're building the infrastructure for when anything great happens, that's worth talking about. We can sort of fill that inventory with the right stories for South Africa. That's the one.
Hmm.
The second piece of infrastructure we built is with our Caxton's community. So we've got about 200 journalists as part of that sort of Caxton's group who said,
huge
we
group.
Love this, we want to get on board. And every week we're going to report on stories at a local community level that says, here's how you can get involved. Here's doing what needs to be done. And hopefully it drives up support for community level interventions across those publications. That's the second.
Mm-hmm.
The third is we've set up our own little website. It's in its infancy. You can go on today, sort of www.thisisus.africa, where we are going to house and hold all of this together. So that's the third piece. The fourth piece is around, obviously, our social digital channels. And then the last thing we keep thinking about are moments, and maybe we'll discuss sort of what we want to think about for Heritage Day, which is this Friday.
Yes.
Looking at key moments where we can activate as a country, and that, you know, this movement becomes the opportunity to do that. It's, And, you know, for now, we've been driving it at like a very small level. But the intention is that this is open source. All our assets are available. Anybody can download them. Anybody can do stuff
and
with them.
Just to be clear, yeah. I mean, Yatish, like you come from an advertising and a creative background here. And largely, that's also Lebang's experience. So you guys are going to be developing essentially the I Love New York campaign of South Africa with all of this. And you've got some supporters in the business community, too. And you've got some really smart people who are advising you guys on how to make this thing really catch fire, because that's what we want. We don't want, and we do not want what's happened so many times where a good idea gets taken by the politicians and ruined, and you know, they use it for their own purposes. This is going to be citizen-centric. It's going to be open source, as you say. Anyone can join in, but it's not going to be manipulated for, you know, nonsense and worthless political rhetoric by the politicians.
Yeah, 100%. I think the biggest thing here, Gareth, is that we're offering a solution that everybody can be a part of. So I remember a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to Sia from Brand SA, and, you know, I said to him, well, how do you think we can fix the country? And he said, look, the main thing is we don't have one unifying goal. When you ask a South African, what do you think the goal, you know, in the same way that America has the big American dream and NY has I Love NY, there's a nice round goal that almost all of them believe in and all work towards. When you ask a range of South Africans, there is no one thing that we're all working towards. I think we all sure would like to see a better South Africa, but how do we get there? How do we all, you know, actually participate in that? So I think what this is us is ultimately going to offer everyone is that solve. You know, this is us. This is how we want to see ourselves. And this is how we're going to get to where we want to be. So for me, the biggest thing is having that solution for everybody who asks. Eventually, the idea is for everybody to be on the same page. Where do you see South Africa in 10 years? This is us needs to be a nice central hub for all of the work that all of us are putting in little by little. And as a group, just a great, I guess, library of all the great work that's being done.
I also saw just a little bit of what you guys are talking about, because you've really put a lot of thought and effort into this. And when it launches properly from Heritage Day on, it's going to be something that has, there's a plan, there's a strategy in place here. And I like the idea of making people think about what kind of a country we want to leave for other people to inherit. So we're not just thinking of ourselves and our immediate happiness or our comfort or our satisfaction or our positive attitudes, but also what kind of a country we want the next generation to inherit and what we want to leave behind. And that's probably the most noble way for any of us to think about the future is, let's leave it in a better condition than we found it ourselves. And let's try to add more value in. And let's make sure that whoever inherits this country from us, that they're thrilled and they're grateful. And they don't go, oh, that generation of slackers, you know, that didn't do anything. And we've got the opportunity to do that right now. It's terrific. I think this is very exciting.
Yeah. No, the Heritage Day campaign is going to be great.
Yatish?
Sorry, yeah. I mean, just on that, I mean, it was so funny. We were looking at the sort of definition of the word heritage, and you know, strictly speaking, heritage is the thing you inherit. And so, you know, when we were thinking about it, you know, and Heritage Day is the one day, I think, as South Africans, we're not quite sure what to do on that day. You know, like June 16th is really well defined.
Yeah.
Heritage Day is like a weird one. You know, some people wear it. It's like cosplay mixed with Bri Day, you know?
Yeah.
That's what ends up happening. So we thought about it and went, you know, maybe the thing to think about is that legacy issue, right? Is to say, what are we leaving behind? And the amazing thing as part of the campaign is we interviewed just a host of South African youth, right? Between like 14 to 17. And the things these kids say are embarrassing to the adults of the country, literally, right? I mean, the things these kids are saying, going like, you've let us down. And to your point, you know, once we move on, every piece of selfish behavior we engage in today, we're going to leave to these poor kids to inherit. So what we really want people to think about on Heritage Day is, you know, the things you do today are the heritage of tomorrow, right? Your legacy for the future generation. So all we want you to do is just one thing on Heritage Day, just one thing that contributes to building a better South Africa. post it and hashtag it, this is us. That's it. So,
that's nice.
You know, if in July the world and South Africa saw the sort of the dark end of who we are, and this is us in a bad way, let Heritage Day, let there be a view that says, actually, shit, that's not who we are.
Okay, this what kind of things? Because I've always had this idea that we focus on the big things. We want to change the massive stuff, and that's hard because it requires an enormous amount of effort, time, money, and coordination. Whereas the little things are totally achievable. Like if you just tidy up your own street a little bit, if you just clear out your own house for starters and find stuff in there that you can pass on to people who need it more than you do, that would be a good start. Maybe you decide that this is going to be the year that you start recycling. Maybe you decide that this is the year that you're going to, gather rainwater, for heaven's sake, or something like that. These are little ways that you can do it. And even if you think it's dumb, share it with us, because we do want to know, and we want to see these stories start to light little fires all over the place. Because you don't want to get to the stage where you have to take over the municipality's job when it comes to like putting water, back into the system. But there are things that you can do, and maybe it's paying for the old lady at the shop who's in front of you in the queue, and you just pay her bill without her knowing, or you do something nice. You just do something nice for, maybe you call up a relative that you haven't spoken to in a long time and make them feel a bit better about themselves. That kind of thing.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong act here. The only thing is two things. Is it kind and is it spreading positivity? And you've just answered your own question, Gareth. It's really just the small things within your own little space that you can do to redefine what an act is, to redefine the measure of whether it's a good or a bad. As long as it's an act and you're leaving someone with a smile, then please hashtag this is us and share all that love, man.
Tebogo says, I'm in love with today's conversation. It is so liberating. Here's a good one from Zillin, says, buy two breads, give the other one to a car guard. Yeah, that's not a hard thing to do, for heaven's sake. It's going to break the bank, is it? It's terrific.
No.
So I think that this is really cool. There's lots of obvious ways that we can get involved, but it all kicks off on Heritage Day. So give us the details if we need to know about, you said the hashtag is This Is Us. Now that's also a TV show, so don't get confused, but that's going to be our hashtag, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've been asked that question a lot. There's a TV show called This Is Us.
Right.
To which my response, Gareth, is I once met another guy called Gareth.
Yeah.
It happens.
It happens. No, exactly. No, very, very nice. All right, guys, terrific stuff. This is going to be the place where we do this once a week for the next while. And Lebang and Yatish will be the hosts here, and we're going to be talking to lots of other people who are in prominent and important positions, like we had the First Lady on last week, and people who are not in the most prominent and important positions but are making that difference that we're talking about. I'm very, very excited about this. By the way, Freedom Farter says, I have a British passport for sale, just saying. That's the kind of thing. That's the kind of thing we're looking at. All right, very, very good. Thank you very much, Yatish. We'll chat to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks very much, guys. We'll see you soon.
Terrific. And just so you know, Lebang, you're going to be doing On Life with Lebang on Thursdays. You're going to do a little bit of an overflow there as well. So some of the people that we don't get to have on this show, Lebang will be talking to on that.
Yeah, definitely. I think what makes it even more exciting is the people that I'm going to have on my show are literally like, it's like me and you. You know, it's literally the person that you walk past in the street. You'll never really know by just looking at somebody what they are or aren't doing for the country or for the world. So I've identified just average Joes, people that are just going about their lives, who are as busy as we are, as tired, but still manage to make the time to do some good work. So I'm really keen. That's going to be every Thursday from 11:30 till 12 on cliffcentral.com.
Very nice. And if you haven't listened to Lebang's show yet, you need to do that too. So that's from 11 to 12, but yes, this part of it will be for half an hour of the show. Very good.
For sure.
All right. Awesome. And if we need to know more, is the website, give it to us again.
Yes. It's thisisus.africa. Everything is there. Literally, as Yatish said, open resources. You can download all the videos. You can download the social media banners. Whatever it is that you're doing, check out your resources. Check out what it is that you can do. Go to thisisus.africa and everything is there. You can completely join the movement. It's not for a certain type of person. Mm. It is for all of us.
And that includes those people who usually just moan because they have nothing to say. I mean, this is your chance to reform. This is your chance to actually to be a happier, better person. Rather than sitting and complaining, oh, you know, things are really cuck at the bride.
Things are bad.
So we've got this holiday on Friday. So we've got a short week. Let's make the most of it. Let's do something on Heritage Day and post it. Just put it on your social media and use the hashtag. I'll be doing it too to remind you.
And you know, you always get those people on social media that like go out of their way to show that they're performing and to show that they're doing an act. It's your chance. It's your opportunity to get the credit that you want.
We're not even going to judge.
It's fine.
Yeah. Look,
just as long as you use the hashtag.
Yeah, right. So this is your moment to actually not just virtue signal, but to really gain the most possible attention for yourself for virtue signaling that is available. Go and don't be ashamed. Do it.
Yeah. That's what we're basically saying.
We're giving you permission. So this will be good. Heather Mbambeni says that this is the first time she's seen us. She usually only listens on Spotify. Well, the fact that you stuck around means obviously we're not that horrific. So thank God for that, Heather. I'll take it as we'll take that as a compliment too.
Take the compliment. Thank you, Heather.
So make a little note on your phone. Just put there that you've got one good thing to do for Heritage Day, and let's all do that. Let's make a positive contribution to the country and boast about it a little bit, get the movement going, and let's see what we can do.
And again, there's no size, hey? Like, it doesn't need to be this huge thing that requires all of your, like, literally just think of what it is that you can do within your own space. If it's money, that's fab. If it's time that you can give, that's fab. Whatever resource that you're willing to allocate to just this act, then I think it'll go a long way. It'll be greatly appreciated. Just hashtag This Is Us. Check out thisisus.africa just to check out some of the resources. A lot of those young kids, you'll be like, it'll take you quite aback when I watched it, and they were just like, look, you adults have been mucking around and screw all of you. I was like, damn, I need to do better. Right. Check it out. It's quite
very
interesting.
Good. Okay, so now you know what to do. We'll catch up in a week's time right here to see what else we can learn. And that's on This Is Us. Okay, that's it for the show for this morning. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Have an excellent Tuesday, everybody. Cheers.
Peace. CliffCentral.com.